Welcome to Truth, Culture, Life. I am Royce Hood, and I am joined today by Father Michael Orsi from Naples, Florida, and Sierra Heidkamp from North Dakota. Now, listen, we can't see Sierra today. For those listening on the radio, you can't see us anyway. But we always we produce this program using an online portal where we can actually see each other. And this way we know if we're paying attention or not. And Sierra's camera's not working, so that's okay.
I'm being held prisoner at the North Dakota State Capitol today. So,
like, literally or figuratively?
Figuratively.
His father knows people. He could send. He knows all the law enforcement and stuff. He could send help if he needed help.
Calling the cavalry. No, we you know, it's the end of session. We only have about 2 weeks left here, and this has been a lot of moves get made. So we had about 10 life bills left yet. And they've combined a bunch of my bills together. They tried to kill one of them. And so I've been meeting with lawmakers and, you know, our conference committees that we have and trying to get some things done.
Hey, well, we got the heartbeat bill through the Senate yesterday. It's going to go to the governor's.
Sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you, but we had to do an applause. The heartbeat bill in Florida.
Yeah.
Woohoo.
Have to go, you know, we still have the 15-week bill going through the courts. And once that gets through, then we'll be able to have the 6-week, and that probably has to go to the courts too. So anyway, we're making a lot of progress here in Florida. It's just a wonderful thing to think that so many lives will be saved.
That's amazing.
It really is. It's wonderful. It's wonderful to see that momentum and the turnout as well. I mean, social media was a buzz last night when the governor signed that bill. He actually signed it yesterday, I think, right?
I don't know. I don't know if he signed it yesterday. I know it was going right to his desk.
That's amazing. Well, yeah, that's huge. I think that's a great thing. And yeah, so we'll see. I mean, I can't imagine. I think the precedent is on our side legally now for things like the 15-week. I mean, that's what Dobbs was all about, really. I mean, it was, you know, that there was this point in time where, you know, Congress or the judiciary would say, absolutely not, we're not challenging Roe. But now we're at this point where the precedent is on our side with Dobbs, and it's just such a good development. So Sierra, how does it look in North Dakota? What are we seeing there legislatively?
You know, things are really good. I have an interesting story to bring up. So a couple weeks ago, we had that big Supreme Court hearing in North Dakota, where the Supreme Court, basically in the middle of a case, released an opinion. And they said that in our laws, we need to have a health exception for abortion. But they didn't define what health exception meant. Does it mean physical health? Does it mean mental health? We don't know. So right now we're working on passing a bill that actually cleans up all of the abortion laws in North Dakota. And Planned Parenthood kind of figured out that we don't have a mental health exception in our state. So what they wanted us to do is they wanted us to have an exception for health of the mother, rape and incest, and then later on have it say health of the mother excludes mental health. So they could sue us and remove that section. So then it would just be health of the mother, and it's so confusing.
You know, this is something that we talked about at the Law of Life Summit. These exceptions are this is Planned Parenthood's ploy. It's their little trick. It's how they get their toe in the water, their foot in the door. What they do is they pry open these pro-life laws with these so-called exceptions. And there's no, like in California, it's health of the mother. And what does that mean? It's a total arbitrary meaning. It means whatever some person wants it to mean. It means whatever they want it to mean. It can mean anything. It's not even a slippery slope. It's a cliff. And we had this. What was the doctor's name, Father, that was with us? Dr. Brukowski?
Yeah, Brukowski. Yeah.
Brukowski, right? So he'd performed some abortions early on in his medical career and had this big conversion. And now he's an OBGYN and a physician, and just has this background that just blows your mind when you hear him talk with such authority. And he's a man of faith as well, which is beautiful. But you know, that was part. Yeah.
Brukowski. That was his name.
Brukowski. I get it wrong.
Yeah.
Brukowski. I'm going to call him Dr. B.
Dr. B. Great guy. Fuck he gave.
He's huge. We're going to get him on. We're going to get him on this show so people can hear him. But listen, he says in all his years, 20, 30 something years, however long he's been practicing, he has never seen one case where aborting a living baby is necessary medically for the health of the mother. In other words, you don't need to kill a baby to save the life of a mom, ever.
Yeah, that's right. Hey, Robin, I want to ask you and Sierra a question. I read a lot of articles lately about why the Republicans have lost numerous elections, especially, you know, say in the blue states. And a lot of the pundits are saying, well, it's because of their strict stance against abortion, like Mastriani losing in Pennsylvania. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I'm sure Sierra has some comments on this. I can tell you, looking in, when we see these blue state or these purple state ballot initiatives, for example, we're seeing an influx of money coming into these states and into these jurisdictions from outside sources, sort of this dark money pool. So was it Kentucky or I can't remember Kansas or Kentucky where they had the ballot measure that we lost? It was a big referendum after Dobbs, and something like 95% of the ad revenue came from New York and California. And these ads, what they're saying is like, if you vote for this, women are going to die. Women will be on the streets. It's mind blowing the misinformation and sort of the spin that these groups, and they're very clever the way they do this. And we just saw this, I think, in Wisconsin as well with the Supreme Court.
Yeah, Michigan too. And they're saying it's because of the stance, that life is precious from the moment of conception. And like you said, they've done a terrific job, unfortunately, of scaring people. How do we counteract this? What do we do?
It's fear mongering.
Yeah.
But what I can't agree more with Royce. I mean, I think that what we do is, my simple answer to Father O's question is just misinformation. We talk about this with almost every issue, every partisan issue right now, is we have such an uneducated populace that whoever has the most money and can get the most ad space, they're going to win. And I don't necessarily know what the answer is, because we're never going to have as much money as Planned Parenthood, but we have to find ways like this podcast today where we're educating as many people as we can, having those hard conversations.
Hey, Robin, remember we had a lady that spoke at the summit and she talked about language, how, the other side, the dark side, knows how to manipulate the language, and also told us what words or phrases we should avoid.
Karen Garnett. Yeah. Yeah. I actually had her on the program live this week at Catholic Spirit Radio during their carathon. And this is really what it's funny because this is what she's doing almost full time. I mean, she's got Luncheons for Life and other things that she's involved with, but she's, language. And she talks about how the other side, they're so meticulous and they're so intentional with the words and the phrases that they use. And like Sierra pointed out, they've got very deep pockets and they use it. They use those resources. And so like you have the AP, Associated Press, it's called the Topical Guide that they published, back in November. And it talks about, hey, across the board journalists, if you're a part of the AP, which is almost every mainstream journalist, here is the language that you are to use when referring to issues related to abortion or pro-life. Pro-life, they're not to be called pro-life. They're to be called anti-abortion, right? And so they have these phrases, these little clever things that they say and do that paint a picture, and they control the narrative. And they ultimately, it's like that the groupthink syndrome that we all have. And when you hear something every single day, everywhere you look, you hear these messages and you see these messages. It changes the way you think, whether you know it or not.
Yeah, I want to follow a little bit on that, but both of you could help me with this one. It seems that when I listen to the news or read, what I'm finding is that almost every left-wing news source has the same take on every situation. You hear the same words. What's going on there?
Yeah, Sierra, do you want to take that one? I know the answer, but I'm curious what Sierra thinks.
Well, I mean, it's the overarching entities that are, you know, paying for these media outlets are just giving them a script. I can't find it. When you brought that up, it made me think of it right away. But I saw a video the other day of news anchors. It was like 100 videos of different news anchors that were saying the same line in unison.
Yeah.
And it's like, how do people not see this? I mean, the mainstream media has been completely infiltrated. There's no way to fix it.
Well, they're not independent. They're not independently minded anymore. The mainstream media used to be this sort of this unbiased, you know, we've got these ethical guidelines. Like, we're going to go in. It doesn't matter what we think. We're going to report the facts and then allow readers to make whatever opinion they want. Now it's all biased propaganda.
And for whatever reason, it targets one side. I'll let you guys guess what side that is.
Is there like a central headquarters where this stuff is disseminated?
Yeah, it's called the bowels of hell, Father. That's where this stuff came
from. Well, I mean, if you think about it, you have like, and I don't know all the technical parts of it, right? But you have these groups like NBC, ABC. On the radio, you have like iHeartMedia, you have whatever. And it's all like a few companies that have paid to have all of these branches or outlets, you know, and they are like the main carrier of everything. And I shouldn't say iHeartMedia because I actually do a conservative show with an iHeartMedia outlet, but in here in North Dakota. But I just like that's just how it is. Here's the perfect example. So in North Dakota, we have two gentlemen who I won't name. I'll implore you to look up Rob Port. He's a journalist in North Dakota. He does all online and he has a podcast. And his sole job is to attack the young Republicans in North Dakota. That is all he does. He just released an article where he basically just bashed our six young Republican lawmakers. I'm surprised I wasn't on there because he probably could have roped me and the other young lobbyists in there too. But the weird thing is the North Dakota Senate minority leader's assistant was actually arrested 2 weeks ago and none of it was ever reported. And she still has a job at the Capitol.
Well, it reminds me of an influencer, if you call him that, on Twitter. His name is Brooklyn Dad. Everybody's probably seen him. He's like Angry Brooklyn Dad or something like that. I forget. But he's a lefty paid propagandist, basically. And it's interesting because if you look at his feed, it basically just re-disseminates exactly what the mainstream media narrative, or you go to like the DNC website and it's almost verbatim, you know, whatever talking points they're pushing is what's on his feed. And he has tons of followers and it's just so funny. It's like, is this guy even real? Is he just a robot? I don't know if you guys followed the news this week, but there's been a sort of a kerfuffle with Twitter, thanks to Elon Musk, which is kind of funny, with NPR. Did any one of you catch that headline, Father? Did you catch it?
I saw that. I listened to it. Boy, Elon decimated that guy.
Right. That was the BBC thing that you're talking about, right?
Oh, yeah.
BBC. It was just unbelievable. I love the conversation because the BBC reporter just so nonchalantly, you know, I have personally seen a rise in hate speech. And Elon Musk says, well, really? Tell me what have you seen? Tell me, give me a specific example. And after a few minutes back and forth, the reporter says, well, not me personally, but I've read other groups are seeing a rise in hate speech. And Elon just pointed out, look, you're lying. You can't point to one example.
Right. Well, talk about the NPR situation.
NPR is hilarious. So
they're funded.
So what Elon Musk did was he said, listen, for context, since Twitter has been so good in the past at putting quote unquote context in these little labels that say, you know, this could be misinformation. Well, so what he done now, he said, listen, NPR is a government-funded, a state-funded agency, basically. And they didn't like that. And they denied it. They said, no, we're not. And so it's funny, the Babylon Bee just came out and they said, National Public Radio denies being national or public. Of course, that's a joke, but that's true. And then literally NPR, Elon Musk points out, because NPR denied it. No, we're not an agency of the government. We're independent. But their funding comes from the government, comes from tax dollars in large part. NPR literally said, quote, federal funding is essential to public radio on their website. And that was something that was posted online that you could see. And then they took it down. Elon Musk posted a screenshot of it. Anyway, the point is, it's kind of refreshing. I don't know where Elon Musk is theologically on anything. I question some of his decisions. But look, he's hilarious.
He is. He is a clever man.
I love the fact that he is challenging the narrative and taking these organizations on head on. And he's powerful enough that they don't like it and they complain, but he can do it.
Yeah, it's fantastic what he's done. I'm so glad he took over Twitter, cleaned up that mess.
Well, that's what we need. We need people to ask questions and shake things up because we don't have that enough.
No.
You have people like Dr. Andrew Fauci, who has just been saying the same tagline for 3 years.
And he gets away with it. One lie, the other reinforcing lies, reinforcing false information, because he's the science. No, he's not. He's a fake, phony fraud.
You know, he's actually, Sierra, he's been saying the same tagline for something like 30 years.
And get away with it.
That's right. The whole idea of this global vaccination and all this stuff, he's been pushing that concept. There's videos of him like back in the HIV with the HIV breakout back in the 80s and 90s, how he was pushing this stuff. And it was interesting. It never went anywhere. It didn't take off. But COVID was his opportunity. I'll tell you what, this is a great conversation. We're all over the place politically. And wow, maybe we'll soften things up a little bit post-Lent and do some theology in the next segment. So you're listening to Truth Culture Life. I'm Royce Hood. We're joined by Father Orsi and Sierra. And when we come back, we're going to get the weather report from Sierra because we haven't done that either. So we'll be right back.
Catholic Spirit Radio thanks you for your donations throughout our 2023 Spring Carathon. Online giving at CatholicSpiritRadio.com will continue through the weekend. If your donation is completed by Monday noon, you can still get in on the Divine Mercy gift drawing and all the premiums. Thank you for supporting Catholic Spirit Radio.
Has Catholic Spirit Radio touched you? Maybe it has brought you closer to God or even into the church. Tell us your story. Call or text our listener comment line. If you like, you can remain anonymous. 773-541-4159.
Join Holy Trinity and Historic St. Pat's Parishes in Bloomington in welcoming internationally renowned authors, speakers, and theologians, Drs. Scott Hahn and John Bergsma, as they make a rare speaking appearance to Central Illinois. This special event is being hosted by Holy Trinity Church in Bloomington Saturday, April 29th, 8:45 to 3:30. Seating is limited, so please register now. Don't miss out on this inspiring and blessed event. Learn more at the Holy Trinity website at hsp-ht.org.
The Walk, it's here, and it's time to show your support. Pregnancy resource centers are committed to walking alongside those facing pregnancy decisions, and they are asking this community to join them on the journey. You can support the Pregnancy Resource Center in Bloomington by being a part of their 2023 Walk fundraiser. It's on April 22nd. You can register to be a walker, make a donation towards the event, or learn more about their volunteer opportunities at pregnancyresourcecenter.org.
Welcome back to Truth, Culture, Life. I'm Royce Hood, and we're joined by Father Orsi from Naples, Florida, and Sierra. We were just talking about all sorts of divisive political issues that get us all fired up. We're trying to do everything we can not to give Father Orsi a headache.
Well, you know, Royce, I don't drink caffeine anymore, so I need something in my life to, wake me up a little bit.
My coffee.
How do you not drink caffeine, Sierra? That's weird.
I can't do it anymore. Can't do it. I used to do probably close to 700 milligrams a day between my pre-workout and, bubblers or whatever, those little caffeinated drinks.
What the heck is a bubbler?
It's like sparkling water, but it's got a bunch of vitamins and whatnot in it, and it's got about 100 milligrams of caffeine.
You know, Sierra, your problem is you're getting caffeine from all the wrong places. You want caffeine. Do what Father O does. Get a cup of Dunkin' Donuts. What do you got there, Father? Hold up your cup. Let's see what it is.
No, it's a generic cup made right here in the parish hall.
Just black coffee.
Just black coffee.
Come on.
Best coffee.
That's it. Just that's all you need. You don't need all that weird bubblers. And I, when you started saying bubbler, I was thinking it was like a, I don't know, like some kind of like a champagne or something.
Disclaimer, this podcast is not sponsored by Bubbler.
We should ask it's not Bubbler sponsored. Sponsor it. If Bubbler sponsors this program, I will start drinking Bubbler.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so I got a question for you guys. So I've been seeing lately on social media, there's this huge push right now where biological women, and I don't even want to say that because that's kind of against what I'm about to say, but women have been standing up to the fact that they feel that they do not want to say, I am a biological woman or I am a cis woman.
Or a that birthing person, right? I've heard
or
that.
Or a birthing person. And I've seen this argument all over social media lately. I even saw one video yesterday that talked about, you know, the left has created this label for me. And if I don't take on this label, I am the bad person. But I don't want this label. Like for me, I just want to be able to say, yes, I'm a woman. I don't want to have to do what the left is telling me to do, where I have to say I'm a cis woman who's heterosexual, like ultra whatever. You know, what are your guys' thoughts on that?
Well, I think, you know, you don't have to say I am a woman. It should be obvious. I mean, I mean, come on. You know, look at me and say, oh, what are you? Hey, that's pretty obvious.
Yeah. It's just so messed up.
I just think it's so interesting.
And I got to say to somebody, oh, I'm a man. And I'm, what's the other word that they, and I'm heterosexual and what the hell is, excuse me, I'm on the radio.
I'm not trying to make fun of anybody because I think there's some good people that fall into the pronoun trap with their signatures, but that's the first red flag right there. If I'm conversing with somebody or if I'm in an exchange on Twitter and somebody's kind of bashing my comment, you just look at their profile and almost all the time they have pronouns.
Oh my gosh, I know.
Right. I don't know. I'm not going to buy into it. I don't care. They can take my car away and my light. I'm never going to put pronouns behind my name.
So yeah, North Dakota, we had a bill this year that said that basically if a kid in any grade, K to 12, if they want to use the other pronouns, they have to get parent permission. Pass the House, pass the Senate, gets the governor's desk. He vetoes it. So then we didn't have enough votes in the House to override his veto. So we added it on to another bill. And the governor came down and talked to a bunch of House members and said, if you do not take off this language, I will veto this bill as well. And
Why does he want kids to, I mean, look, Father, you were going to say something a second ago too.
Oh, I forgot what I was going to say because it agitates me. Oh, I know what I was going to say. I went to the hospital, you know, a couple of months ago, and there's a sign in the admissions area. Let us know the pronoun that you want to be called.
It's just so stupid.
Father, that's what you call me.
What about the, Sierra, along the same lines of what we're all talking about here, what about the whole Anheuser-Busch debacle, right? With they got the trans person giving the commercial for Bud Light, and it blows up, and then they get the marketing executive on there, and she's like a diversity inclusion officer and the marketing officer for Bud Light. She's like, yeah, you know, we're all about diversity and all this. I'm like, oh, diversity is great. Listen, I want people of all walks of life to enjoy a nice ice cold beer.
But here's my deal. My deal with this Dylan, I don't know his last name, whatever his name is, the girl. So basically for the audience to know, you know, Anheuser-Busch, they just gave Bud Light cans to a transgender female, a man, with his face on them for his 1 year anniversary of being a woman, quote unquote, a woman. It's blown up. People are basically rioting against Anheuser-Busch, Bud Light, all the other off brands they have. And honestly, the biggest thing I have is companies like Coors Light. They've been doing LGBT ads since the 70s. All of these like beer companies have been kind of dabbling in this. But with this Dylan, he's only claimed to be a woman for a year. And he's taking away opportunities from actual women.
Well,
that's what's so frustrating to me, because he has deals with Tampax. He has deals. A biological man has a contract with Tampax for him to carry them around and promote them.
I mean, come on.
Like, what?
I just don't get this. This is insane. This is insane.
There's something.
You know,
I saw. Stop drinking the water, folks. Something is going on here. Where
get people reverse osmosis. Yeah.
You know, I'll tell you what it is philosophically. What the problem is, there is no such thing as truth anymore. That's what they're trying to promote. That way, anything goes. Whatever we want to do, whatever we want to be, is fine. Well, that's normal. Normal is not fine.
Exactly. And I just saw you guys got to go. If you, the listeners on the show, go and look up Matt Walsh on his Twitter. So he just had the best like question and answer at one of his events. So this transgender woman, so a man, came up and was talking to Matt Walsh about questions. You know, like, why don't you think that I can identify as a woman? Because I am a woman. And he's always like, you know, you always ask people, what is a woman? Well, Matt Walsh, how do you define a woman? And Matt kind of turns it around and he's like, you know, you're an EMT, correct? And this person goes, yes. He's like, so you get a call to a house and you know, it's a biological man. And he says, oh my gosh, I'm having a miscarriage. As an EMT, do you take that seriously? And the person that was at the mic just had no words. No words. I thought that was pretty cool.
It is. I mean, but that's. I mean, you can't. I'm sorry, Fallo is speechless with this stuff.
No, I am too. I think we got to move on. Let's switch gears slightly, because this is one of those things we could talk about this issue, and it's kind of funny sometimes how ridiculous. It's almost as if we turned in like a sort of like a clown show. With this movement. I mean, it's just weird, right? I mean, the whole, like, why would you want kids to transition? I love the Bill Maher quote, and he's of course not friendly to Catholicism at all, right? He's very liberal. And he's like, listen, it's a good thing my parents didn't, you know, schedule me for, you know, leg peg surgery, because I wanted to be a pirate when I was a kid. And I always say, look, at what point does Royce Hood come out? And I say, listen, I'm going to come out as an eagle. I want to be an eagle because that's an endangered species. And then I will be protected by the federal government. And I keep wondering, well, I have to pay taxes.
Hey, well, Robin, I want to bring something up. You just said, you know, thank God my parents didn't say, you know, I want to be able to hop off your leg, right?
Right.
Well, such a movement now called ableism, I think it is. And some people say they want to be blind. And some people say they want to be deaf. And the question is, can a legitimate surgeon, doctor say, okay, we'll now make you blind because you want to identify with the blind community? Have you heard this one?
Yeah, isn't it the Hippocratic Oath? I mean, I think we, you know, I don't know it off the top of my head, but isn't it like basically do no harm?
Well,
not anymore.
Does Hippocratic Oath have any meaning anymore? Because I'm told, I think I've seen it, it's revised.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah.
They revise. I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, look, the CDC changes definitions in the middle of the night. I wouldn't be surprised if something like the Hippocratic Oath has changed. And well, I wouldn't know. Yeah.
Do you get grandfathered in then? Like, let's say I'm like a doctor and I'm 45 and I took the Hippocratic Oath.
Probably because you already took it. So it's probably like the new version, right?
Oh, no. That's wild. Yes.
They will cancel you. They don't care if you took it, you know, 50 years ago.
And there are doctors. Like, we've seen doctors get canceled.
Right.
And we've seen their license get attacked.
Right. Exactly.
Wow. Yeah. So, you know, should we transition into Ask Father O?
We got to be careful when we use words like transition these days.
Oh, you're right. Should we segue?
Hey.
Father, is segue a more appropriate term?
Yeah, segue in.
We're going to segue in to the Ask Father O segment. Go ahead, Sierra. I think you had a great question for him.
So I have two questions today. We'll see if we get to both of them. But the first question is, Father O, can you explain to me, why do Catholics confess our sins to a priest?
Okay. the development of the sacrament of penance, and it is connected with baptism. And we go back to whose sins you shall forgive, they are forgiven them. And we know that people, although baptism takes away all sin, that people do fall into sin at various times in their life, even though they have been baptized. And so the church, in her wisdom, sees that we have seven sacraments, and that for those people who fall into sin after baptism, there is this special sacrament, the sacrament of penance, which takes away sin after a person has been baptized. And so it's a way of preserving the baptismal purity that was given at the time, perhaps of as a child. But as we mature, unfortunately, we do fall into sin, and penance gives us that opportunity to have our soul cleansed. The priest then there represents Christ himself. And when we go to confession, Christ is using the priest in order to administer the absolution that is given because of sin after baptism. And that's the answer. It's been with the church from the very beginning. The sacrament of penance has been there. Over the years, since the, I guess, about the 11th century with the Irish penitential books, it has become the form that we have now for the sacrament of penance or for confession. In the early church, it was for apostasy, it was for adultery, it was for murder. But as the church matured, they say, look, we need some help. There are other sins that we commit, and therefore we have the sacrament today. Does that help?
Yeah, I think that was great.
Yeah,
that perfectly answered.
Wonderful answer. And I think about it, I mean, there's different types of sins. Obviously, we don't need to go into all of that now, but I think about, you know, the difference between like a mortal sin versus just a, what do you call it, a venereal sin? Or
not a venereal, it might be.
Come on, Father O, what's the right terminology?
Venial sin.
Venial. Venereal is going to go into the book of Roycisms.
Venereal sin might fall into mortal sin, you know. So but the interesting thing, though, is your confession really is for mortal sin, because that kills the soul. But it's also, we have a devotional confession that we can go to confession because we want to perfect our lives. And sometimes we have to take a look at those venial sins. If we don't get those venial sins early, they grow into mortal. It's like, you know, cancer. You get diagnosed early, you have a good chance of surviving. You let it go until you're at stage 4 or 5 or 6 or 7, you know, you're dead. And that's what mortal sin does. And venials can grow if you don't get it early.
Mm-hmm. So here's my second question. What is the history of the word Yahweh, and why don't we hear it in church anymore?
Wow, good question.
Yeah, this is a good question. Yahweh is the name that the Jews used for God, okay? And it basically is a way of, how could I say it? That is the designation for God, period, okay? But the Jews never uttered the name Yahweh. If you look even in a Jewish Bible, you're going to see it written so that the vowels are missing, but people would know where it is. When the Jews wanted to speak about God, they avoided that term, and they used the term Adonai, which is Lord, okay? Because to mention the name of God is a sacrilege. Now, why don't we see it anymore? It's because we have become, I suppose, I mean this in the best sense of the term, sensitive and politically correct, saying that it is offensive to the Jews when we use that term. Although the literal translation from the scriptures is Yahweh, and I don't think, as far as Christianity is concerned, that there is any problem at all with using the name that God designates himself as in the Old Testament.
That's so, the history is just, it's just so really, so beautiful if you think about it. I mean,
you know, the problem is, you know, because everybody's become so sensitized and politically correct, sometimes we're even finding ourselves, you know, scrubbing scripture, if you will, to take out phrases that are offensive, to take out phrases that maybe we don't like today because they talk about retribution. They talk about punishment, and people don't want to hear that today. They just wipe it off the scriptures.
Yeah. I think about that, like, you know, that you said it was considered wrong to say the name of God.
Right.
Wow. That's at some point that changed, right? Yeah. I mean, even just with people proclaiming, you know, praying to Jesus or, you know, praying to God. I think most Christians probably just say God, right?
Yeah. But there's a whole bunch of Psalms called the predicatory Psalms, and they're the ones that call down vengeance on our enemies. And when we use those Psalms, even at a Sunday Mass, the parts that talk about, you know, God's vengeance and calling down vengeance on our enemies, they've been deleted and scrubbed.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I didn't know that. That's really, really interesting. It's sort of sad if you think about it, that over time, I mean, I don't want to get into the politics of, you know, traditional mass and all that different stuff, but it's just interesting how things change. Like if our culture today got a hold of the Bible, oh my goodness, they'd probably just cancel the whole thing.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Wow. There's very little that is compatible with American culture, or really global culture.
I was gonna say maybe thou shalt not kill, but never mind, I guess I forgot about.
Yeah. I remember this conversation with Father O talking about the commandments. Isn't the proper translation supposed to be thou shalt not murder?
Thou shalt not murder. That's right.
Right.
Oh, really?
Right. So thou shalt not, it's a little bit different.
It's a lot different. It's a lot.
I didn't realize that, I guess. Well, I was talking to somebody the other day and they were like, yeah, thou shalt not kill. It's not really a thing because you can kill somebody in self-defense.
Yes, you can.
I learned that in church. And I was like, I guess I really never asked that question, but okay.
Well, unless you're in Illinois. If you're in Illinois, you're supposed to just kill yourself, I think.
Oh, my gosh.
I was thinking about that with the gun laws here. Like if you're in Florida, they have stand your ground laws. In Illinois, you literally have to shoot yourself. Otherwise,
yeah. No, I believe it. And some states are so odd with like how much force you use, because that's how Florida is. I'm pretty positive. If somebody comes into your house, they have stand your ground. But if you use excessive force, if the defense can prove that, you're going to go to jail.
No, Florida has stand your ground across the board. You don't even have to be in your house.
Right.
Well, maybe DeSantis passed that. My apologies.
Somebody points a gun at you here, you have a right to shoot.
That's right. Yeah, there was a really interesting story a couple months ago where this fella still breaks out of a work camp or a prison or something like that, steals a car or tries to steal a car at a gas station, and the woman is pumping her gas. It's like 8 a.m. She's terrified. She sprays the guy with her gas. And the guy runs off and he tries to steal another car. And I think this goes on for a while. He keeps getting fought off by these people. And eventually somebody holds him at gunpoint and they hold him until he gets arrested. And the sheriff came on and the sheriff said any one of those three people would have been justified in shooting this fella because he was threatening them.
Yeah.
He was threatening them with their life. So from a theological standpoint, obviously it's different, right? I mean, the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not murder.
Thou shalt not murder. That's exactly what it says. We're entitled to self-defense. And the long tradition of the church, too, has been to defend ourselves against criminals who have murdered other people. Now, we won't go there now. It'll take a long time to explain that. But here in Florida now, the governor is proposing that there be a death penalty verdict on a jury that is not unanimous in declaring the death penalty, but that'll take some explaining to do.
Yeah.
That's, go that route myself.
Let's save that topic. That's a topic I want to go into maybe in the next episode or two. We'll jump into it. The difference between pro-life conception, you know, how do we reconcile that with something like the death penalty? And that's a really interesting topic. And it's a difficult topic to think about. Like I think about somebody like Nellie Gray, who is a staunch Catholic, and she was adamantly against the death penalty for a couple of reasons, but not really theological reasons. It was more personal reasons. She wanted to be able to pray for those people for conversion. So Father, I'd love to hear your feedback on that, but I think that might take longer than what we have time for today. Yeah.
Oh yeah. I completely agree. I think that would be such an interesting topic to go into, because I think one of the criticisms, that's probably not the right word. I think one thing that Catholics often get asked is, how can you be pro-life and pro-death penalty?
Mm. Yeah, well, that's a false argument, but we'll talk about it.
Yeah.
Yes. No, I think it'd be interesting for our listeners, talk about the truth aspect. So
we're going to schedule a time. We have to book Father like weeks in advance, because he is so busy. I mean, it's hard to pin the guy down.
Because you've been promoting my cause.
We promote you everywhere we can. And I even talked about you and Sierra live on the air this week at Catholic Spirit Radio. So you guys are on my mind all the time. I think we're out of time for this segment. You're listening to Truth Culture Life. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll be right back.
Catholic Spirit Radio thanks you for your donations throughout our 2023 Spring Carathon. Online giving at CatholicSpiritRadio.com will continue through the weekend. If your donation is completed by Monday noon, you can still get in on the Divine Mercy gift drawing and all the premiums. Thank you for supporting Catholic Spirit Radio.
Has Catholic Spirit Radio touched you? Maybe it has brought you closer to God or even into the church. Tell us your story. Call or text our listener comment line. If you like, you can remain anonymous. 773-541-4159.
Join Holy Trinity and Historic St. Pat's Parishes in Bloomington in welcoming internationally renowned authors, speakers, and theologians, Drs. Scott Hahn and John Bergsma, as they make a rare speaking appearance to Central Illinois. This special event is being hosted by Holy Trinity Church in Bloomington Saturday, April 29th, 8:45 to 3:30. Seating is limited, so please register now. Don't miss out on this inspiring and blessed event. Learn more at the Holy Trinity website at hsp-ht.org.
The Walk, it's here, and it's time to show your support. Pregnancy resource centers are committed to walking alongside those facing pregnancy decisions, and they are asking this community to join them on the journey. You can support the Pregnancy Resource Center in Bloomington by being a part of their 2023 Walk fundraiser. It's on April 22nd. You can register to be a walker, make a donation towards the event, or learn more about their volunteer opportunities at pregnancyresourcecenter.org.
All right, welcome back to Truth, Culture, Life. I'm your host, Royce Hood, and I just want to thank Father Orsi and Sierra for joining this week's episode. They have signed off because I am producing this segment after we produced the other one. We ran out of time. We were producing our show yesterday, and I had to drive to Bloomington from my home in Peoria so that I could join the crew at Catholic Spirit Radio for their 2023 Carathon. And that carathon was just amazing. We were joined by all sorts of amazing guests, from Debbie from EWTN. We had Teresa Tamio at one point. We had deacons and priests and all, I mean, just amazing. All the volunteers. It was incredible. And my understanding is that Catholic Spirit Radio actually hit the goal that they were shooting for with respect to their fundraising. And Catholic Spirit Radio, guys, is incredible, because think about it. It's a little ministry in central and northern Illinois, and they hit around 600,000 homes with their signals for the radio station. Soon, very soon, they're going to have a new tower up in Rockford. And if they're able to get that tower, they're going to increase their reach to over 1 million homes in central and northern Illinois. This is a little backyard ministry that is extremely amazing. And when I say backyard ministry, let me tell you something. This Catholic Spirit Radio operates out of a professional building. They've got professional equipment, and they've got a professional team of volunteers. When you say professional, you usually think, you know, that means people who get paid. Everybody that is contributing at Catholic Spirit Radio is doing it because they love the mission of Catholic radio, and they recognize the importance of evangelization and spreading truth and talking about important issues. So we ran out of time yesterday. I had to get to the station so that I could do a live broadcast, which was so much fun. I would encourage you to be sure to visit CatholicSpiritRadio.com. You can still give. You can give anytime. And that benefits that station. You can also check out this program online at TruthCultureLife.com. And if you want to learn about some of the other things I'm involved with, you can go. I've got so many different websites. It kind of gets confusing. I need to figure out how to create some cohesion, because right now I have the Law of Life Summit, which is at lawlife.org. So Law of Life Summit is an event I do around the country. It started in Washington, D.C., and we bring together national pro-life leaders, lawyers, media, pregnancy centers, advocates, students. It's incredible, and it happens every year before the March for Life. I've been running the summit since late 2011. Our first summit was in 2012, so over 10 years. And after the Dobbs decision, we decided to take the Law of Life Summit national. And it actually, technically, it happened before we even knew about the Dobbs decision. We were invited to host a Law of Life Summit in Schaumburg, Illinois. And we did, and it was a two-day event. And when we announced that event, about 3 weeks later, the leak of the Dobbs decision came out. And so we were positioned in Schaumburg to have the first in-person national pro-life leaders meeting since Dobbs. And then the Dobbs decision was handed down and Roe v. Wade was overturned. And it was incredible that we were in that position to address the implications of overturning of Roe v. Wade. And what are the implications? The implications are far-reaching. Look, abortion is not over, as we all know. We predicted back in back at the Schaumburg Summit last year that we would see abortion tourism. We would see a rise in that. I mean, it was obvious. It's common sense. You've got states like Illinois, where I am, that advertise, hey, come on in. We're open for business. Meanwhile, other states like Florida, literally last night or this last week, the governor signed the six-week abortion ban, and they're, you know, making incremental wins to protect the dignity of life. You've got other states in Texas where, you know, abortion just not legal anymore. Missouri, there's no clinics performing abortion. North Dakota, no clinics performing abortion. The time is on our side with respect to that issue. But this show isn't just about life. It is a pro-life show without question. I can't help it. I'm pro-life. I feel like I know some people are uncomfortable with that issue, but I think it is one of the most important issues of our day. And so the Law of Life Summit seeks to address that issue, but we do so in a way that's not just wagging our finger. We try to point out ministries and apostolates and organizations that are doing good to serve women, to serve babies, to serve children, to serve families. And so one of the things we just did, we just had a two-day Law of Life Summit down in Naples, Florida. It was called the first annual Naples Pro-Life Summit. And it was, folks, it was incredible. And it's going to be annual. And so if you're listening to this in Illinois and you're thinking the winters here can be brutal and you're looking for an excuse to go to Florida, we're going to do it next year and we're going to announce the dates soon. And I'll tell you what, I will announce the dates for that show or for that event on this program. So we'll do that hopefully in the next couple of weeks, but it's going to be either late February or early March next year, 2024. We're going to have another, the second annual Naples Pro-Life Summit. And we are highlighting local ministries that are doing things right. We want to see, we want to know what little apostolates, what little pregnancy centers, or what, you know, independently run, privately run maternity homes are out there. What are they doing in their communities to make an impact? And how are they making an impact? And what difference are they making in women's lives? And so, and then we do some other fun stuff too. We do excursions to bring leaders and advocates together and get them out, get them off the sidewalk, get them out of the office for a minute and have some fun and fellowship and get to know each other. Because the more we know each other, the more relationships that we can build, across the pro-life movement, the more we can get done to serve those who need service and to evangelize our message. And look, pro-lifers, we like to say, you know, we're fighting for life. Well, what do we mean by when we say we're fighting? We don't mean we're physically fighting. It's a spiritual warfare. We're fighting with faith, hope, and love. We're fighting with faith because we pray outside of the clinics peacefully. We pray and we fast. We pray for conversions. We pray for those working in the clinics. We pray for those who have been hurt by that industry. We're fighting with hope because there's hope. There's hope and healing after abortion. We're all human, right? Everybody does things that they wish they hadn't done. And there is a way back with hope. And we've had people on this program that have been post-abortion, that post-abortive, that talk about the love that they've received and the faith and the hope. And so that's what we're doing. We're spreading hope. And if somebody's facing an issue where they're not sure if they can carry their pregnancy to term, there is hope. Trust in God's will. My wife and I experienced that firsthand with Fulton when he had Potter syndrome, and we knew he wasn't going to survive outside of the womb. But we chose through hope and through faith and through love to carry him to term. All right, that's a cross. It's a heavy cross, but it's so beautiful when you can really truly surrender to God's will and just trust the Lord to provide the manna that you're going to need to survive. And lastly, we're fighting with love because we're a movement of love. We love life. We love the dignity of the human person made in God's image and likeness. And that's what it's all about. So what that long spiel of mine was not designed to bore you. It was designed to educate you a little bit about some of the things I'm working on. And so you can learn all about the Law of Life Summit at lawlife.org. Again, that's lawlife.org. And there's ways for you to subscribe to updates and get invitations. We're going to be hopefully also announcing an event in Kansas City, possibly this summer, which I am really, really excited about. And that will be a fun 2-day event. And one of these days, I'm going to do one right here in our hometown of between Bloomington and Peoria. So we'll get that done soon, too. Lastly, but not least, you know, I'm a lawyer. I guess it's not lastly, but not least. I have missioncouncil.com. That's where I provide legal services to pro-life organizations and Christian and Catholic and nonprofit conservative groups, typically. I also do regular general practice law, so missioncouncil.com. You can check me out there. But last, roycehood.com is sort of my main hub. Roycehood.com is where you can find links to music and film and different things that I'm involved with. So I want, without further ado, for the last few minutes that I have remaining on Truth, Culture, Life, I'm going to play a song or two if we have time, and I'm just going to leave you with this. Thank you so much for listening, and listen, follow me on Facebook. Check me out. Look me up, Royce Hood. You can look for Truth Culture Life Pod at Facebook. That's Truth Culture Life Pod. And then at Twitter, I'm at Royce Hood. So I hope to hear from you. I'd love to talk to you. And feel free to reach out anytime. You've been listening to Truth Culture Life on Catholic Spirit Radio. This song is Pray For Me. You've been hearing little bits and pieces of it throughout this show, but I'm going to give you the whole thing right here. Thank you for listening.
First on the ground. believe in yourself. Cause we've all been face first on the ground. Yeah, but don't you know, something touched my heart.
Much for listening. That was Pray For Me. That is one of many songs that I've recorded and produced over the last few years. I've been writing music for a really, really long time, and it's just so much fun to be able to share it with people, especially on a platform like Catholic Spirit Radio and on this podcast, Truth, Culture, Life. So if you want more music, subscribe to my YouTube channel. That's YouTube at Royce Hood. And I hope to have more music in the near future. So thank you again. Big shout out to Catholic Spirit Radio and congratulations to Catholic Spirit Radio and to all the volunteers, to the donors and sponsors of that station for the success they've had with the 2023 Carathon. And I would just encourage you, if you haven't already, be sure to check out CatholicSpiritRadio.com and download the app. I'm Royce Hood, and we'll talk to you next week.